Our Father, we stand amazed in your presence. Lord, that how you could love a sinner like us. Why you would take our sins and our sorrows and you'd make them your very own. Lord, how can our reply be anything but to stand amazed in your presence and declare unto you that you are beautiful. And Lord, that our great desire is to make your name famous in all the earth. Father, would as we continue to worship together now through the opening of your word, may you speak to us in power and in truth. May we hear the words of your heart for us this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Oh, I love to stand on this platform and watch you sing. No standing on a bump on the log, worshiping together this morning. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1? Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. While you're turning there, we had a tremendous group that showed up yesterday to help us. As you have been giving to outlive your life, that money is going to great use. We are maybe a week and a half away of opening our brand new fellowship hall and using it for our very first Wednesday night family supper next Wednesday night. Not this Wednesday night, but next Wednesday night. We'll be ready to have it. The floor is going this week. We've got some touch-ups still to be done. If you want to take time on your way out this morning, you can take a peek in there. The lights are on. The ceiling tiles are in. I promise you they're there because I wanted to worship this morning, but my arms are too sore from holding up ceiling tiles. But we had a great time together yesterday. I love work days because we get to talk and fellowship, and folks get to meet each other, didn't know each other before it started, and so it's a great time. Thank you for all of you who've helped yesterday. And don't worry, if you missed out, good news, we'll have another one. We are on a journey together to complete some of the spaces that God has given us to give us more room to grow, for room for life groups, room for our fellowship space, room to use to invite our community to come and be a part of our facilities during the week and other special events that our church could host here when we have the facilities for that. And so we'll be moving forward in the coming days. So those Outlive Life funds that you are giving are already going well to use. So thank you for doing that. Well, we are looking this morning and continuing to our series this month of Lord, Use Me. I pray and I believe that it is for each child of God that our prayer would be that the Lord would use you, that the Lord would use me as individuals, wherever the Lord places us in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our workplace, in wherever God puts you, that God would use you. And that our prayer would be more than ever, that God would use this church, and our church's prayer would be, Lord, use us. More than ever in the history of our church, that God would use us. That we would be people like King Josiah, the person that God will use. A king who was young, in his young 8 to 14 years old when he was a teenager. He began to follow God with all of his heart by those that were older than him that had shaped him and trained him in the way he should go. And he did not depart from it, and he led the nation to revival. Folks, our world needs revival. Our nation needs revival. Our world needs people like Josiah, who will be people that God can use in extraordinary ways. And that continued last week as we talked about. In order for that to happen, we've got to be a people who will pray. We've got to be the people that will pray the kind of prayers that God will answer. And we looked in the life of Isaiah, who prayed a tremendous prayer for revival, for God to move in extraordinary ways in his time, in his generation. And our call is to do the same, is to pray those kinds of prayers that God would answer, that God would rend the heavens and come down, and that God would do the things he has done before, that he would do them in our time, in our generation, that we would see thousands of people, that we wouldn't be satisfied with 41. We'd rejoice in 41, but we wouldn't just sit and say, well, we've done enough. Oh, there are so many more who have yet to hear the gospel. So many more in our community. As I learned at a church planning group about 2 or 3 weeks ago about planning churches, that in the state of Mississippi, not in the Bible Belt, in the buckle of the Bible Belt, 70% of our state does not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Folks, the Bible Belt is dead. Let me just go ahead and declare that. It's dead. It does not exist any longer. 70%, folks, of our state, 70% of those who live in Petal, Mississippi, do not know Jesus Christ. Do you think we have a mission? The answer is yes. And our prayer must be, God, use us. Use me. Must be our prayer. We pray a prayer of honesty, of releasing control to the Lord to say, Lord, you are the potter. I am the clay. You mold me. You shape me. You use me the way that you could do the most good. Which leads us to the third message today, and that is this, the path that God will direct. Now, obviously, we have graduates in the house today, and this will certainly apply readily to you this morning. But it will apply to each of us. And I want us to look at a very familiar passage of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, two verses of which almost every Christian knows to some extent. We've heard them before anyway. But I pray God provides new light on those in context of the entire chapter of Proverbs. In each of these two verse sections we'll see, there is, notice three things about each of these. There is a direction to follow. There is a danger to avoid. And a dividend, a reward, if we will do those very things. Let's stand together and honor reading God's Word together, verses 1 through 12, and then we'll look at this together. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from your first of all of your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father the son in whom He delights. Father, I thank You for this last word, Lord, that You delight in Your children. What a truth. Father, I pray You'd help us to wrap our minds and our hearts and our souls around these truths, that, Lord, will then put feet to our actions, to what we hear. We will not just be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. That we will put these principles into application into our lives, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you take that outline out this morning, and we got to dive quickly, so you got to listen quickly this morning, if you can help me do that this morning. Let's look at these verses in two verse increments, verse 1 and 2, 3 and 4, and et cetera, down the line, to look at these wonderful, powerful verses. And again, a command, a direction to take, a danger to avoid, and a dividend to receive this morning. Number one, notice this in verses 1 and 2, and I want to read each verse again, but in a different translation to help you think through this idea. Verse 1 and 2 of this same scripture says, my child, never forget the things I've taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfying. Notice the first direction to take is this. Remember God's commands. Remember God's commands. Sounds simple enough. The word remember, the word is to store here. It means literally to guard them. It means that we need to be in a place where we can learn and grow. Now, if we ever get to a place where we think that we have arrived, we don't have to go to this or that because we have gotten all the knowledge we need, we're in grave danger of a danger we'll talk about here in just a moment. Folks, if we're going to remember God's commands, we've got to be in worship. We need to be in a life group, learning the Word of God in a small group setting. Because listen, I promise you, you won't get enough just 1 hour a week. But not only that, in a worship setting, in a life group setting, we've got to apply it in our own daily lives to read the Word of God, to know what God's commands are. If we don't know what God's Word says, how can we know what His commands are? How can we know how we're to live this Christian life? We're to remember God's commands, not our ideas, not our opinions, not the world's ideas, but God's Word. It's one of the reasons I want to do this first Super Sunday night, because sometimes we miss the idea that God has a word on every subject, really. Whether it's a principle applied to that or the specific subject itself, which leads to this, what does the Bible say about blank? Fill it in for you in your life. What does God have to say about you being a parent? What does God have to say about you being a spouse? What does God have to say for you children about how to respect and honor your parents? What does it have to say about a workplace? What does it have to say about being a godly man or woman in your community? What does it have to say about these things? The Bible clearly says, remember God's commands. The Word of God speaks every day into our lives. And listen, if we don't follow God's commands, and guess what? We're following our way or we're following that of an idol. And if we're following in our way, by the way, that's an idol. Many of us don't have idols. Our own idol is ourself. Our own ways, our own desires. And the Bible's very clear. If we're going to be on the path that God will direct, then we must remember God's commands. Now, the danger to avoid in this is the obvious one, forgetting what we are taught. Forgetting what we're taught. Now, let me just illustrate this point for just a moment. Can I do that? Now, everybody look up here so I know that you're not cheating, okay? Because some of you might have an outline and you'll really bless me this morning. To illustrate my point, to forget what we learned last week. Maybe you aren't here in this service, all right? And Dr. Dan Call was with us today. Rarely gets to be with us. We're so glad you're here and your family's with us this morning. Norman's an interim pastor somewhere. He's in high demand. But I dare say, Brother Dan, I wonder, Dr. Dan, if you could remember all the points of your sermon from last week. Boy, it's put you on the spot, won't I? I had to go look up the points from my sermon last week. I'll just give it to myself. How many of you could remember the points of my sermon from last week? Anybody? Just bold and want to just stand up and recite all 8 points, Dr. Dan. That would not be good in preaching class. 8 points. Can anybody name those? Anyone? Well, that's good. I want you to know I prepared myself for this moment. I was prepared. That's supposed to be funny. Are y'all awake this morning? Hello. Right? You're not going to remember it all. Why? Because we forget. Now, one of the reasons we forget in our world is because we are bombarded with information. We have tons and tons of information. We've got Facebook. I thought I had it conquered when I did Facebook. Well, then everybody says, you got to be on Twitter. Everybody's on Twitter. Well, my goodness, I can't read all of Facebook and then read all of Twitter. Of course, half is which is the same. And a Twitter makes a tweet of a Facebook makes you a twit, I think. I don't know how all that works together. But there's too much stuff. And you got breaking news all the time, and your phone is going to explode from all the messages on it. You got Facebook, you got all this information, school and work and all the stuff you're expecting, thousands of emails. I've had some of you tell me, listen, preacher, I'd love to read your messages, your emails, but it's just too long. I get 80 to 90 emails a day, and I do good to read 30 seconds per email, and yours is longer than 30 seconds to read. And I said, well, just like my sermons, my emails go, you know? I just can't help it. We're bombarded. So how do we not forget? How do we not forget the teachings? Well, one of the reasons the things we do is give you an outline is to help you remember. One of the reasons we have a website is to give you an access to the messages to not only share with others, but maybe we're just now podcasting, by the way. If you want to sign up for iTunes and podcasting, if you understand all that, and I don't, but if you do, you can sign up for all that, and you can get a message during the week to remind you of what you've heard, to take this message and put it in your Bible, and during the week to let the Word of God saturate in you to think about these principles. Am I applying them to my daily life? So I don't know what to read during the week. Let me encourage you. Go back and reread these scriptures. Go back and reread. You can go grab my notes on the website. I don't give half what I have written down. You can go back and saturate that so that we do not forget. Write in a journal. Write down what you're learning so we don't forget. We forget so easily. The dividend, what is the dividend of walking God's commands, remembering those and not forgetting them? Here's what he says. You will live a full life and have peace. Now, some love to like this verse. Well, God says, I'll live a long life. If I do what God says, I'll live a long time. Is that what that word means here? The answer is no. Now, it could mean you live a long time. It's very well possible. God could choose you live a long time in response to you be obedient to this truth. But what I think the context of the scripture means is this, is that you can live a full life. And a full life is not determined by its length. Good night. Let me say that again. That was a good word. That was straight from the Holy Spirit. A full life is not determined by the length of it. It is by how you live that life. You live a full life. Let me illustrate this. You go to your next high school reunion or college reunion. Go back and look at some of those folks and how they're living a full life. You're going to see some folks that life has lived them. They've not lived life. Why? Because they've not followed God's commands. They've forgotten what they learned. The promise of a full life is a life that's full of joy, walking in God's commands. Not only that, you get God's peace. Knowing you've done the right thing for the right reason. You're not second-guessing yourself, looking over your shoulder, wondering if I remember God's commands, am I going to get caught? Am I going to get in trouble? Am I going to hope nobody will know what's going on? Not only that, we have peace of mind in that regard, but God gives us peace to walk through difficult situations of life, that God will give you His peace. Some of you right now in your life, listen to me, some of you right now in this moment, you are walking through the valley in doubt, in decision, in difficulty in your life, and you're wondering, where is God? Listen, God says, I will give you my peace. You walk in my commands, don't forget my ways, and I will give you my peace. A peace that passes all understanding. We see verse 3 and verse 4. Let's look at these two verses together. More principles to apply. I love this, how this is translated. Don't lose your grip on love and loyalty. Tie them around your neck. Carve the initials on your heart. Earn your reputation for living well in God's eyes and the eyes of other people. Don't you love that? What is the direction to take? Here it is. Put God's word deep in your heart. Now, years ago, Charlie, back in the centrifuge days, back in the dark ages, they did this thing that was really horrifying to us. They walked in one night with no announcement, no warning. Imagine this happened. I walk in and I said, all right, folks, bad news. You got your copy of the Bible. Give it to me. You cannot take it home. And all those copies you have at home, somebody, while we're here in church, the government has gone in and taken your Bibles and destroyed them. And I'm required to take your Bibles or I'll be killed. So I'm going to take your Bibles. You'll never see a copy of God's Word again. How would you do? How much of God's Word is in you? How much have you saturated your life with? And it got really quiet in that day because literally they came in that day and they took our Bibles away and they said, now, here's going to be our service. Here's our worship service. We're going to let those quote the Word of God that they've hidden in their heart. Now, let me help you now. Okay, let me help you just a minute. This was not just, the teenagers were not even in the room. This was just adults. These are, I would say, God-fearing adults because they went on a youth camp as a chaperone. You've got to be a God-fearing adult, don't you, Charlie? I mean, these aren't people that are just like, you know, kind of on the line, I love Jesus or I don't. You got to love Jesus if you're going to go to youth camp. And you know what I'm saying? I love you, teenagers, but woo! You know what happened the first time I did that? It was silent for minutes. Nobody. You talk about feeling that sense of sadness. What would happen? We're so dependent on our technology. We are living in a world that is biblically illiterate. We don't know the Word of God. It's not inside of us. It's not a part of us. And yet the command of God here is to put it deep inside of our hearts. I love this thought when I saw the Message translation. It said, carve the initials in your heart. I don't know about you. Of course, you young folks have no idea what this means because you would carve it on a phone, I guess. I don't know how you do that. But back in the old days, back in the dark ages, some people, they would go on a tree. You get a knife. Some of you know what I'm talking about? Some of you are smiling. You did this. I see it in your faces. They would go, teenagers, look at me. This is an old-fashioned thing. Ask your mom and dad if they did this when they get home, or your grandparents. They got a knife, guys in particular, and they get a knife and they would carve in. B-E plus, in my case, R-L equals, if you're a really good carver, this is a long carving here, love forever. Right? Carve it on your heart. What does he say? The Word of God is carved in your heart. You get that big, do you get that visual picture? Isn't that great? That you had carved God's Word, that Jesus Christ plus the Word of God plus your name equals love forever. We would remember to put God's Word deep in our heart. The second, by the way, let me, why this is important here, we're probably just going to get to part one. We'll make it a two-parter. In the Jewish culture of the day, you may have seen this in modern-day history. You've seen people on TV, maybe in Israel. They had these things called phylacteries. I think I said that right, Dr. Dan. Is that close? They had these little boxes that had rope around. They would tie them on their foreheads or on their arms. And inside of them were little scriptures. They literally took what God said, hide God's Word in your heart, wear it on the doorpost of your life, and literally they would also have scriptures written on the doorpost of their houses. So when they would go in and come out, the Bible said, and you're coming and you're going, you remember God's Word. So they would go out, and the Word of God was over them. They would come back home reminded of God's Word. And then that they took it further even where they bound it on their head. Leads us to a great question. Do we carry God's Word with us everywhere we go? No, we don't have to have it in a little box. We don't have to even copy of God's Word. We don't have to have our iPhone with the Bible app on it. We need to have it in our hearts. The danger to avoid. Letting go of God's love and His faithfulness. Too often we let go and lose grip on what matters the most. The danger to avoid here is to not let go of God's steadfast love, His kindness, and His incredible faithfulness. You see, the problem is here, the way we let go of it is we try to make God fit our ways and our wants instead of letting the Lord change us. Aren't you grateful today that God is steadfast and sure? Good, 10 of you are. Praise God. Aren't you glad that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Though our world changes, our world falls apart, God is still the same. He's still on His throne. He's the same God He was that parted the Red Sea. He's the same God He'll be from thousands of years if He does not return until that point. He will be the same God all the way through eternity. He is steadfast and sure. You can count on it. The danger to avoid is to let go of that. The danger is to make God, we think, feel better about ourselves with no change. We want God to make us feel better without anything different happening in our lives. You see, the key of the gospel is about Christ making us more like Him, not the other way around. And that is what we need, someone who is steadfast and sure. The dividend to expect, I love this. The Bible says we will find favor in the eyes of God and man. Now, this is important in two ways. Number one, notice, the Bible says here, you will find favor in God's eyes. We as a church and as an individual should desire God's favor to rest on us. The Bible says about the Jewish nation in the Old Testament, it says that God's favor rested on His people. Think about it. Where God's favor rests, there His presence is, there His blessings are, there revival is, where God's favor is. I don't know, I can't presuppose anything, but it appears to me in this moment in Petal First Baptist Church's history that God's favor is on us. Do you sense that? Do you listen, Dr. Dan can tell you, and others that are here in our midst, they can tell you it is not ordinary for a church to add in 1 year's time 107 people. That's not ordinary. We must be certain. We don't take the credit. We simply say, the reason God's favor rests on us, listen to me, is just that we will have favor with others. My prayer is, and I've told some of you this in this community, some of you about something in our church family, about maybe some of your family members, I've said this statement, this is true. I've prayed that God will give me favor with people so they will like me. So they will think I'm the best preacher in Petal, Mississippi. So that I will get invited to every civic event to do what only preachers can do, and that is pray. Always. No. Listen to me. I'll be honest. I have no desire to have favor. I don't mind it if God gives it of other Christians. I want favor with lost people. I want favor that people don't know that I'm a preacher so that I can have the opportunity to share with them what matters the most to me. And that they will be receptive and open to the gospel that will radically change their life. I pray that as it happens, and it's happened before. It's happened. Where's my family here, our military family here, that they were driving by and one of their children said, "Hey, Dad," they were on their way to Hattiesburg. "Hey, Dad, let's go to this church." They didn't know it. We've prayed over Highway 42. We've prayed over it. "God, would you give us favor so people are driving by and seeing that pretty sign and pretty building, they'll stop in and say, something drew us here." And we just smile and say, "It's the Holy Spirit. God would give us His favor." Notice the last one. We've got to be through this morning. Verse 5 and 6. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, He's the one that will keep you on track. The Good News Translation says it this way: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Well, that's a good word. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and He will show you the right way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Doesn't that sound, so good, doesn't it? That's that verse we know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And if I would ask that question of you, and I would say, all right, church, who trusts in the Lord with all their heart? I would hope most of us would raise our hand and say, well, I do. Of course I do. But I want to ask this question of you and of myself. Do we really trust the Lord? Most of the time in the easy times of life, to trust is easy. It is easy for me to trust that I can jump without breaking my leg from this step to this step. It is, however, a little more difficult for me to jump to that top step up there by the baptistry and jump from here to there and trust that I will make it and not break my leg. Is it easy to trust when things are going our way? But when we really find the definition of trust, that's when things don't always go our way. I want to read to you something very personal to me. And I'll do my best to get through it, but I want you to hear it because it's a definition of trust, and it's something that I promised that my father, that I want his legacy to live on. This is one way I can do that. My dad wrote one journal entry on the Caring Bridge website, and this was it. 2012 promised to be a memorable year, my 50th tax season and 11th anniversary of successful kidney cancer surgery. But early in January, I developed a persistent, irritating cough that would not go away. Because of my family history of bronchial cancer, I visited my primary care physician on January 23rd for help. Chest x-rays, blood work, EKG, all revealed no abnormality. With a history of reflux, the course of action was to take Prilosec, use Ativir, visit a pulmonologist. On Friday, I'm just skipping through. On Friday, April the 13th, the pulmonologist ran another chest x-ray. This was followed by a CT scan, which indicated an enlarged lymph node in my lung and something else close to my trachea. The radiologist and pulmonologist both agreed that a thoracic surgeon should perform a bronchoscopy and perform other procedures to determine exactly what we were dealing with. That was done on April the 19th, 2012. It revealed a squamous cell tumor that was pressing against the trachea, causing the cough and hoarseness I was experiencing. It did not show up on an initial x-ray because of its location. Surgery is not an option, so I was referred to an oncologist. So here I am again, just like 11 years ago, sitting on a roof and holding on for dear life, filled with anxiety and fear. It was then that I discovered the secret that passes peace, which passes understanding, about which the Bible speaks. The secret? You have to let go of the roof and jump. And just as I would catch our boys when they were caught on the roof trying to get a tennis ball out of the gutters, so did my Heavenly Father catch me. It was only then that I experienced the peace about which I had head knowledge, but not heart knowledge. This time, I have already jumped and know the God who catches me, walks with me minute by minute, knows the number of my days, and loves me, in spite of my lack of obedience and trust, will once again work his miraculous will in my life. My prayer is that this journal will chronicle the physical experience in my life as God uses it to impact spiritual lives of those with whom I come in contact. It is not that I don't want this cup to pass from me. I do with all my heart. But true surrender of life to him comes only as we die to self and allow Jesus to live in and through us by the power of his Holy Spirit. I want to be able to say with Paul, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. Please pray for my sweet wife of almost 45 years. And our children and our grandchildren, that they will experience the peace that comes only from resting in him. For those of you who know Jesus, I pray that this will inspire you to love him more, know him more deeply, and follow him more closely. And for those of you who don't know Jesus as personal Lord and Savior, I pray that you will give your heart and life to him today. At the end of this life, it is really all that matters. See, it's easy to trust in the easy moments, but not so much in the hard. That's what that scripture means, to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. The danger to avoid as we close this morning, rely on what you think you know. I remember when I was a senior, Larson and Blaine, I thought I was one of the smartest people I had ever met. Really. Some of you that work on the college profession, you get to see this on a daily basis. I guess I was 3 or 4 months into my first year, and I called back to my dad and my mom and had a conversation with them. I really thought to myself, have they been going to classes since I've been here? I think they've been going to school. They suddenly have gotten so much wiser and smarter than I could have ever imagined. I went home and told my dad, and the one illustration he'd always told me was, son, it's not what you know, it's who you know. I remember telling him with all my great wisdom, Dad, that is so wrong and so ridiculous. That is so unchristlike. I cannot believe you'd say something like that. Dad, that's just not true. My freshman year, I was inviting my parents to come up for a weekend to visit, and there was a show that was playing at our university, and I couldn't get tickets. I called a friend of mine that worked at the university, and I said, hey, can you tell me how I might be able to acquire some tickets? He said, sure, I'm best friends with the ticket office manager. Let me give him a call. He called me back in 5 minutes. Hey, how many tickets did you need? I said, I need like 6. He's like, no problem. Got 6 on the 4th row, dead center, reserved in your name. I called my dad. I said, Dad, I need to teach you a very important lesson. It's not what you know, it's who you know. You see, I thought I was so wise in my own eyes when I realized I wasn't quite as wise as I thought I was. It reminds me of the TV show, Father Knows Best. Our Heavenly Father knows what is best. What do we expect from this as we close? Real simple. The right path. He will keep you and me on the right path. If we will do all these that have been listed to avoid the dangers, to take the instruction to heart, the dividends are clear. On the right path. Let me ask you a question as we close this morning. Are you hiding God's word in your heart? Do you remember God's commands? Or have you, like we too often do, we forget or think we're above it? And as a result of that, we don't really live. We don't live a full life. I wondered this morning, are you living the full life? Not the perfect life, because that doesn't exist. But are you living a full, joy-filled, Christ-filled life this morning? God's word says you can. If you will remember his commands and not forget your teachings, his teachings. This morning, are you thinking through the ideas this morning? Verse 3 and verse 4. They tell us so clearly. Putting God's word deep in our heart. And lastly, you're trusting God's heart. Not with your mouth. Not with your head. But with your heart. And listen, if you're trusting God with your heart and your head, guess what will follow right behind it? Your feet. They will follow the path that God would have you to be on. I wonder, are you on that path this morning? If you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're not on that path. But today you can know for certain that when you draw your last breath, you can be in eternity in heaven with Jesus. With every eye looking right here, I plead with you this morning. If you don't know him, why would you wait any longer? The invitation is so clear. Christ follower, is God's favor rest on your life? Is it resting with others and around you as you're praying, God, give me favor with them so that I can share the gospel with them? Dear follower of Christ, are you trusting God with all of your heart and not leaning on your understanding? Are you acknowledging God in all of your ways? You can do that today. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you this morning for the powerful words from Scripture. Lord, I love their powerful words because they come from you and not from me. Lord, I have nothing of any value to say other than what your word says. And I pray and I can sense this morning that we are standing amazed in the presence of our Savior. And I pray for those that have decisions. And Lord, all of us, just to be honest, have decisions to make this morning. The question is, what will we do with what we've heard? Will we hear it and forget it? Or will we hear it and act upon it? By following Christ this morning as Lord and Savior, by joining this church family and saying, you know what? I know God's word is clear. There are no orphans. I need to be a part of a church family. This is ours. This is where God has called us to plant our life for this season, and they would feel the calling to come. For others, Christ followers, they are not living the full life. They're not walking in your path. They're on their own path, and God, you would call them back to your ways this morning. And they may be there in their pew, kneel at their pew, or maybe come to this altar or grab somebody with them and go to the side and say, I just need you to pray with me. Father, whatever it is you're calling us to do, I pray we'd be obedient in this moment to hear your heart's call to us, to trust you with all that we are, no matter what circumstances might look like in our life. We would trust in the unwavering, steadfast love and peace of God. Move now, I pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and may we respond right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me? Let's worship together. Continue to sing together. This altar is open. Charlie and I are at the front to receive you. Would you come right now without delay? You come right now. We're waiting. You come.